Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell, co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, creator of the Celestial Timings, and I have a very exciting, magical story to share with you, and it's going to cover some things about magic, Saturn cycles, and the snake shedding its skin, snake symbolism, Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer, the snake handler, and chakras. It's quite an amazing story, so I hope you'll hang in here with me. I am very excited about it. So let me just begin by saying that I am recording this on December 15th, 2013. It is just after Friday the 13th, and I've shared a lot about the magic of the number 13, and Friday the 13th happened to be in December 2013, another 13 number. And the 13th full moon is on December 17th, the 13th full moon between the December solstice of 2012 and the December solstice of 2013. This won't happen again until 2016. And there's a lot of information, and I'll put in links where you can go to get to the articles and audios that I've created around that information. It was just to kind of give you a context of that. And also in 2014, we're going to have a super grand cross with the closest, all four planets in the grand cross, Pluto in Capricorn, Uranus in Aries, Jupiter in Cancer, and Mars in Libra, all at 13 degrees. So the power and the magic of 13. And on the night of Friday the 13th, I happened to just see something on PBS about snakes. It was a little piece on snakes and how, you know, how they usually won't strike you if they can help it, and only do it unless they feel threatened, especially the venomous snakes like rattlesnakes. They don't want to waste their venom. So that's why they rattle, to warn you away if they're not hunting or interested in that kind of thing. So this PBS thing was really amazing. I was just like, okay, there's something about snake medicine that I need to be aware of, Kundalini life force. And I just had that thought at that night, and then completely forgot about it. Went to sleep, woke up the next day, and I decided that after running some errands, I was going to go take a hike. And I was thinking about, I was kind of just tuning in and listening, where's the place to go hiking? And I had thought Sabino Canyon, one of the most popular places here in Tucson, absolutely gorgeous. And then I thought, no, too busy on a Saturday. So so then that led me to think, well, I'm on the side of town where I can go to this trail called the Douglas Springs Trail. And so I decided to go there. And as I'm hiking up, I thought, well, I'll just hike up for a certain amount of time, and then I'll turn around and come back. But as I was hiking up, I came to a side trail that I had taken some years ago, but it's been a long time, and I just felt guided in the moment to take that trail. And it's a different up, and but it can kind of create a loop back around to the main trail. So I'm hiking up, and I'm like, man, I don't remember this being so far up. And I got to the top, and I thought, okay, great place to rest. And I had brought a little bag of nuts and an apple. So I walk off the trail onto a little knoll, and I started to sit on certain rocks, and I was like, no, actually this rock over here looks better. So I went and sat there, and I'm eating my apple and my nuts, and I look down. I'm also admiring the view. It is just an incredible view there. I'm being with the cactus and the just the gorgeous blue sky. It was an incredibly beautiful day, about 60 degrees, absolutely stunning, gorgeous, and I'm just in this place of absolute awe. And, oh, let me back up just a little bit to say that when I go hiking by myself, I do it in a sacred ceremonial way. I'm always doing invocations, intentions, and gratitude for the land and the spirits of the land and the beings that are seen and unseen, and just go through my whole gratitude list and, you know, get into this very expansive state and ask for support and, you know, releasing and letting go and what am I bringing in and, you know, tuning into that. And so I was tuning into magic. Okay, now I'm going to back up to another part of the story. So earlier in the day, when I got up in the morning, I had just retrieved my iPod from a talk I had given. I left it there. And I haven't actually used it much in many years, for various reasons. And so I decided to, I had found some great stuff that I could use for this talk. And, but there was a whole bunch of stuff I hadn't seen on it. So I thought, well, I'm just going to turn this on and see what else is here and see, how, you know, see if I can remember how to access some of this stuff. Well, the song that came up was the song by America called You Can Do Magic. I was like, oh, wow. And there's over 1,500 songs on my iPod. So what were the odds of that song being the song that came up? So I listened to it a couple of times because I was like, this is like my new mantra. And in the words, it says, you can do magic. You can have anything you desire. And that you're the one, it says you can put out the fire, but I changed the words to say you're the one who can light the fire. And I was like, I'm changing it to say, I can do magic. I can have anything I desire. And I'm the one who can light the fire. So, and then the words go on to say, you know darn well when you cast your spell, you will get your way. And when you hypnotize with your eyes, a heart of stone can turn to clay. And I was like, oh man, great. So anyway, I'm singing the song, going up the trail and just affirming that I can do magic. And I haven't really done anything that felt super magical for a while. Not like sort of, in this kind of way. I've done some other things that can have felt that way, but not in this kind of way. So anyway, that's what leads me to this place where I am sitting on this rock, having this moment with the land and being so grateful for living in Tucson, Arizona, where it's 60 degrees, absolutely sunny, gorgeous, beautiful, mountains all around, the saguaros, the ancient ones of this land. And I always sing to the saguaros too. So I was singing to them and just appreciating all of the plants and animals and rocks and all the quartz crystals and just absolutely in this place of amazing gratitude. And I look down and at my feet is a snakeskin, just a few feet away from me. Like this whole snakeskin. It's like a good 2.5 feet long. It's completely intact. And I am amazed. Like, okay, wait a second. I was just thinking that somehow the snakes were starting to speak to me. Now, in shamanic astrology, in Saturn cycles, we say that when you're in a Saturn cycle, it's like a snake shedding its skin, shedding the old life, the old limitations, the old ways of doing things that may have worked very well, but now it's a time of growth and renewal, and so this old skin has to go. So I was like, so cool, because I have been in Saturn cycles. In fact, I've been in Saturn cycles for almost 2 years. I've got another probably 4 years of Saturn to go. Saturn has just crossed my ascendant, exactly, my Scorpio ascendant. Saturn's in Scorpio right now. And that's something it only does every 29 and a half years or about every 30 years. And I'm also going to go into my Saturn return in about a year and a half. So about the time I'm done with Saturn to my ascendant, and it's also squaring my midheaven and Jupiter, Pluto, you know, that the whole Mercury, that whole configuration right as I lead up into my Saturn return. And So I've been working with that imagery of releasing, shedding, letting go of how can I do things better, asking these questions, and not necessarily feeling like I've been making a lot of progress. And that is very common for a Saturn cycle, by the way. So if you feel discouraged, it's not unusual to feel that way, because it's not so easy to let go of all the old things. And in fact, when a snake is shedding its skin, it's a hell of a lot of work. They have to really work hard to get out of that old skin. And they can be kind of crabby and grumpy during the process. You really don't want to upset a snake who's in the process of shedding its skin, or you want to, you know, create a wide berth around them, because it's such hard work. And Saturn cycles often are hard work. So for those of you who are in Saturn cycles, you can appreciate that process. And the work of getting out of the old skin to be open to the new possibilities, to release and shed the limitations of the past. Fabulous, amazing, great experience. So I'm like, here is a snakeskin, a symbol, a dream body message saying that, yes, you're successfully shedding your skin. And so I tuned in and I was like, okay, is this something for me to take with and put on my altar and work with as I continue through my Saturn process? And I got a very strong yes. So I decided to take the skin. Oh, and I had my little bag of nuts, so I was able to take the skin and place it in this little plastic bag that I wouldn't have had, except for at the last minute, I decided to bring this little bag of nuts with me. And so that was just another one of those synchronistic, magical things, because I was just going for a short hike. This actually turned into a longer hike than I had imagined. And so I picked up the snake skin, and I took pictures of it. I picked it up, put it on a rock, took some more pictures. You can see them posted here with the audio. And then I created a rock cairn so I could remember where the snake skin was. I could honor that place, and that when I am complete with doing the ceremonial work and using it as a metaphor to remind me and to help me and support me in this shedding the old skin process, I will take it back and give it back to the land in a ceremony. And that's my intention. And I was just so excited that I could have this opportunity to do this. So, just to share a little bit more about this, there's a few more pieces, and I realize this is not a short story, but it's a really great story. The snake shedding its skin, representing a time of transition and letting go of the old, and to embrace the new, to be reborn and rebirthed into a renewal, and the kundalini energy. Snakes also really have a lot to do with wisdom. The Celtic people saw the snakes as a symbol of secret knowledge because they did shed their skin. It was like the process of death and rebirth, and it allowed them to start anew in a new way, and to be stronger, healthier, wiser, you know, transformed, rejuvenated. That was the process that happened from shedding the skin, and that was a teaching to us as people. It was also about shedding any illusions and limitations of the old life as we've grown, and we, you know, representing that inner growth. Actually, Joseph Campbell described the snake shedding its skin as a metaphor for inner growth. And basically, you know, Joseph Campbell also said that if we want resurrection, we must go through the crucifixion process to get there and be willing to let go of, shed the old life, the life we planned, so that we can have the life that's waiting for us, that's often more magical and amazing than what we imagined. So, and that just reminds me of the whole magical piece. So years ago, I declared to the universe that I was about living a magical life. And I really do get to live a magical life for the most part. And, you know, there's moments that are less magical than others, but for the most part, this was one of those super high, you know, beyond 10, aspect of experiencing magic in my, for me, it just put me into this really super high, grateful place and high vibration, just very, very excited. So, the other piece is that when I got home and I put the snakeskin on my altar, and I'm going to actually just temporarily place it on the altar, I'm going to rearrange the altar and create it in a different way, especially as we get more towards the solstice, so that I can work with this energy as consciously as possible. But I also decided that it was time to look at my natal chart to see what was happening that day. And, which was yesterday, that what was happening yesterday. The sun was at 23, Sagittarius, and that is conjunct a fixed star called Rasalhag, which is the crown chakra of Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus is the serpent bearer, the snake handler, the snake charmer. There's different ways that that constellation is described. I was like, oh, my goddess, and my moon is right there. The sun was on my natal moon, and my natal moon is aligned with that star as well. So it was, and Ophiuchus is connected to Asclepius, who learned the art of bringing the dead back to life through a snake. A snake taught him this, and then he was able to bring the dead back to life. But unfortunately, Zeus did not think that was a good idea. And so, especially when Hades complained that people were leaving the underworld. And so Zeus killed Asclepius with his thunderbolt. Asclepius was the star student of Chiron, the shamanic healer. And there were healing temples all around Greece and dedication to Asclepius. And they often worked with dreams, the dream time, dream body, and how we live this life and all the symbols and things that show up in our everyday life that represent dream time symbols. So the snake representing a dream time symbol that I was getting in a couple of different places. And it also has to do with the Kundalini life force energy, very much connected to Scorpio, Saturn in Scorpio, Saturn shedding its skin in Scorpio mystery, shedding the old skin so that we can have greater connection to life force energy. Kundalini, actually in the Hindu mythology, there is a goddess named Kundalini Shakti. And she is the life force that enlivens everything. She enlivens all of life. And she, you know, the imagery is that there's a serpent coiled at the base of the spine, an energetic serpent, a Kundalini Shakti serpent. And when that serpent awakens, it starts to move up the spine and up through the chakras. Well, when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, because one of the other things that's been coming into my awareness is this whole thing about chakras from several different places. Just these amazing different activations around the chakras and different possibilities of how to work with awakening the chakras. And the Kundalini life forces that awakens the chakras. And I'm going to send some links and some different things to for people to check into if they're interested in that. But as the Kundalini begins to move, it goes up in a vertical direction, up the spine, and activating the chakras, which are considered to be the subtle channels of energy. And as the Kundalini moves up the spine, that channel is also called the Sushumna canal. And so that brings me back to a whole time when I was in Egypt and, you know, the whole Egyptian mysteries and this whole connection with the serpent. Just truly remarkable. So working with the chakra energy is also feeling like it's super important this year as we experience Saturn's continued journey through Scorpio, which has the most to do with life force energy, aliveness, Kundalini, passion, intensity, etc. And the possibility of transformation, really letting go whatever it is that we need to let go of, being in the flow for growth to happen, for the next phase to come in. And we don't know what that's going to look like. So we have to trust and surrender and let go of so that it will just, you know, we'll be in the space where we've really shed that old skin and are open to really creating what the next piece is for us. So, in the spirit of magic, how you can do magic, how I can do magic, how we can all do magic, and how we can have anything we desire. And that brings me back to the last point right before we wrap this up, is that desire is the engine of creation. Desire is not bad. Attachments to how our desires manifest is the thing that creates the biggest challenge for us. If we're attached to it appearing or manifesting in a certain way, we can get so hung up on that attachment that we miss seeing how the life force energy is moving to bring us something even better than what we were originally desiring. Or sometimes it comes in the way we desire it. But the idea is that we take action. We have the desire. We take action. We have passion and intensity and this life force moving energy that when we create that intention and that magic. I had no idea when I was doing my ceremonial invocation during my walk that this was going to happen. And it was really, an astronomically slim to none chance, a gazillion to none, really, that I would find myself on the top of this hill because I just followed my guidance like, oh, I'll take this trail right now. Oh, let me step off the trail here. Oh, let me sit on this rock, not that rock. And there's the snakeskin. I was led and guided like magic to it, and I had no idea, and it was the greatest possible magical moment I could have had at that time. So all the way down, I was singing to the cactus, you can do magic, I can do magic, we can have anything we desire, it's all amazing, we can really be in this creative process, bringing heaven to earth, really in this ascension, in this alignment with the life force energy that's coming onto the planet now. And it all that really is required of us is to surrender what it is we think we know and who we are, to be open to who we really are, and to be in that great aliveness of the magic that is who we truly are.